Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time. Monday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know the new blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, so get yourself over there, check that out, see what's going on. Oh, of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we'd greatly appreciate that. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's.
All right. Well, I noticed marking off the sheets and everything.
Do you even want to talk about how bad? Do you even want to talk about how bad all of our picks have been?
Yeah, well, that's actually what I was going to bring up. Marking off the sheets, I noticed that we were going to suck again, but in a very unique twist to it this time. You know, the majority of the games started at noon yesterday. I lost every single one of them.
Wow, I didn't think it was that bad.
Yeah, you know, we all got the early game right. We all had New Orleans. But then, you know, the curse kicked in because we all had Jacksonville. They lost. We all had New England. Yeah. They lost. We all had Minnesota. They lost. We all had Atlanta, and they lost. And those were, you know, all part of the early games. You were the only one with the Rams, so you picked up a win there. Mr. Fantasy and I had Baltimore. They were an early game. They lost. I went with Cleveland because they were at home figuring they've got to beat somebody. I will probably never pick the Browns again after that, and they lost. So, yeah, I lost 7 of the early games on the plus, or actually 8, because I had Tennessee as well. Mr. Fantasy was the only guy with Houston. Luckily, I did a much better job with the night games and actually got them all correct. Otherwise, I was just in for a horrendous week. But the good news is we all have Kansas City tonight. So that probably means the Chiefs are in for an upset, because that's what we do to teams. Now, to take this one step further now, I am not only jinxing teams when we all pick them, I'm killing players, because I had Dalvin Cook in my FanDuel lineup yesterday. I was really excited. I thought he was going to go out and have a really, really big day. And it sure looked like he was on his way to having that. And now he's out for the season because he tore an ACL. So, yeah.
Well, I hope our jinx doesn't carry over to fantasy, because I have both Smith and Hunt going tonight.
Well, you know, and not to mention both Mr. Fantasy and I went with Julio Jones yesterday as one of our wide receivers. He left the game early, so that was a big plus. I also had Marquise Lee of the Jaguars, who dropped a pass that would have won them the game in regulation, because it would have put them in field goal range, and then muffed a punt that buried them deep in their own zone. And when they couldn't do anything, that's when they had to punt the ball to New York, which led to the game-winning field goal in overtime. So, yeah, I was just fantastic yesterday. I can't wait till week 5 now. Yeah. So that was quite exciting. That I didn't look at. I didn't look at my regular team yet. I was a little bit of afraid to. You know, luckily I don't believe I have Derek Carr, because now he got hurt in the game. He's going to be out for 2 weeks. So if you're banking on Derek Carr somewhere down the road, you're going to have to find another quarterback for a couple weeks. But yeah, I did notice something yesterday, and I just thought it was very odd. You know, the early game had the Saints at the Dolphins. You know, it was another one of the NFL's wonderful London excursions. And the Saints ended up shutting out the Dolphins right away. And I didn't think of anything of it at first, but what was weird to me, Dan, is immediately the first thing I heard on why the Dolphins lost was it was Jay Cutler's fault.
Well, of course.
And I don't know if I mean, is the media just so used to blaming him that they don't even really look at the game? It's just like, yeah, the Dolphins lost, Cutler did it.
Well, I mean, isn't the old the quarterback gets the blame?
Yeah, you know, but I mean, this wasn't even as much blame as they just immediately, oh yeah, he did it. You know, and like it was weird because they managed to pick out this one play. Miami ran what they called the Wildcat, where the quarterback splits out as a wide out and a position player takes the snap. Now Cutler went out, split to the right, put his hands on his hips and just stood there. Well, that's exactly what he's supposed to do. He's a quarterback. He's not supposed to run a route. He's not going to try to block anybody. And man, they dogged him this morning on every NFL show I watched. Now here, Danny was 20 of 28. For 164 yards, so not bad. He didn't rack up huge numbers. He did throw a pick. He was sacked four times for 63 yards. He also had a scramble for 5 yards. So, you know, not the greatest day ever, but, you know, not terrible. He only threw 8 incompletions. You know, obviously the Dolphins had some issues running the football. Jay Ajayi only averaged 3.8 yards a carry. So they weren't really the juggernaut against what should have been a Saints defense that they could have put some numbers up on. And, yeah, I was just baffled because, you know, I didn't watch a lot of this game. I'm really, I don't know, burnt out or whatever you want to describe it. I just don't care about the NFL right now. And it was just so weird that they immediately went to pointing fingers at Cutler, you know, when in reality he didn't have anything to do with the team loss. They just didn't play very well, and you know, they got beat by a team that's probably better than them. So I just thought that was kind of odd that immediately it was like, oh yeah, it's Jay Cutler's fault.
Well, I mean, for him and even like the Bears quarterback Mike Glennon, do you think they're just like a dead quarterback so much as the, you know, the way the game is today, because neither one of these guys throw, not that they don't throw far, but if you don't throw 40 yard, you know, passes, you have to run it for 40 yards. Do you think that's part of the reason that they're kind of, their game is dying out?
I think with Cutler, they are just so used to pointing the finger at him no matter what happens that they didn't look any farther. You know, they didn't look at the fact that Ajayi had a bad game and the Dolphins really couldn't get anything going on offense. And, you know, I mean, obviously that, you know, that happens from time to time with teams. You know, I mean, you know, you can go back and look and you can't tell me that, you know, how many people had the Bills going into Atlanta and beating them at home. But nobody's blaming Matt Ryan for the loss. You know, the Cowboys went in and, you know, roughed up the Cowboys. They got a win there. Nobody's blaming Prescott for the loss. You know, New England, same thing. All they're talking about is the great comeback Tom Brady led the Patriots on when they were down by 14 points. even though they lost. So, you know, I think it's just the situation where they're so used to going, oh, yeah, it's Cutler's fault. You know, it's Cutler's fault. Oh, yeah, Cutler did it. That no matter what he does, the only thing they're going to bring up is the negative. You know, like I actually heard somebody complaining that they're paying him $10 million, which in the realm of NFL starting quarterback money is nothing. So, you know, it's just one of those, it's just one of those situations where he's not going to win. He could throw the game winning touchdown with time running out in the game, and they would complain that he didn't throw a tight spiral. You know, there's just no winning involved when it comes to Cutler. This is just how they decided they're going to treat him. And, you know, it's kind of sad because they're supposed to be objective journalists and they just can't get past the window of this is the guy and he's not a prototypical quarterback, so we're going to destroy him for it.
Well, isn't he more of a hopeful quarterback and not today's don't have an option, so I better scramble and run for a first down kind of quarterback? I guess that was the point I was trying to get to.
Yeah, well, you know, well, the problem they seem to have with him, well, you know, he can run. He's not a, you know, I mean, obviously he's not Deshaun Watson or Cam Newton or, you know, that kind of guy, Russell Wilson. He can use his legs to get out of trouble. He's a decent athlete. You know, the problem they've always had with him is he's not that fire and brimstone quarterback. You know, he doesn't yell at guys on the sidelines. You know, like yesterday, Philip Rivers was yelling at the Chargers coaching staff. And all they talked about was, oh, yeah, great. He's such a great leader. Look at his fire for the game. Yeah, the Chargers got beat yesterday, but it wasn't Rivers' fault because he yelled at the coach. You know, and Cutler's not, he's just not really that guy. His personality is very, very mellow and very level, and it's just always been that way. I mean, he's just that kind of guy. But, you know, and that, it's so odd that they seem to just hold it against him because he's not a, you know, not a yeller or screamer type of guy.
I mean, is Tom Brady or Rodgers really that kind of guy?
Yeah, you know, they've had their moments where they've yelled at, you know, where they've yelled at guys on the sidelines. You know, it's not an every, you know, time thing with them, but they have done it, and you know, it's just one of those weird things because, well, he doesn't do it, so he must not be very good. He's not a leader. You know, he can't lead men, Dan, because he doesn't yell at them. So it's kind of like, yeah, okay, great, you know. So, and obviously we didn't do a FanDuel lineup today because there are no games. So that was kind of obvious. But then the other big quarterback news, Dan, I'm sure you heard this one. The Bears are finally bowing down to the pressure.
Dad.
So, you know, Monday night we're going to get to see it. Your guy, Mitchell Trubisky, the Bisky, going to get the start against Minnesota. So I can't wait for this. His legs are going to get him out of trouble. Danny's going to throw 80-yard touchdown passes, and the Bears are going to win.
All off the play-action passes. First screen.
Yes, all of them. All of the above. He's going to throw play-action and screens, and he's going to run away from every sack that would have gotten Mike Glennon. And you just name it. He is going to go hog wild, and the Bears are going to be – they're going to trounce the Vikings by probably 40 points. And then we will have a parade for the Bisky on Tuesday. So, yeah, there you go. Can't wait for this experiment. You know, the Vikings have – one of the better defenses in the NFL, not to mention one of the best secondary players in Xavier Rhodes. The Bears have no wide receivers who can get open against poor coverage. So it'll be interesting to see how they do against good coverage. So it, you know, hey, but remember, you guys, you got what you wanted. That's the important thing when it comes to this. It doesn't matter if this shell shocks him and he never develops into an NFL starting quarterback, because you know what I heard today, Dan? They said, look at what Deshaun Watson's doing. Mitchell Trubisky can do that. you know, Dan, I know you and I aren't huge college football fans, but I don't remember Trubisky leading his college team to back-to-back national title appearances and actually winning one with a last-second touchdown pass. Did I miss those games, Dan?
Yeah, you know, you were spending too much of your Saturday, you know, running errands and watching the NBA, I guess.
Yeah, well, actually, you know, actually, I think I don't even remember that. I thought they played the game on Monday, but even so, you know, I don't remember him doing that. I remember him starting very, very, very few college games. I don't think his team was very successful. I don't even know if they went to a bowl game. And I guess he did. I miss all those Heisman votes he racked up. Because I think Watson won one. Did Watson manage to win one or at least finish high in the voting? I don't remember the Mitchell Trubisky Heisman speech. I continue to forget these things. I'm a little older now, and you know.
Well, what else you're forgetting is that Tom Brady was drafted in the sixth round and a great quarterback can completely turn around an offense with sub-mediocre wide receivers. Right?
Yes,
comparison?
We'll see. That's what Trubisky will do. He will do that here for the Bears, except he was just a higher draft pick, so he should do it even faster than Brady did, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that shouldn't be a problem at all. So, no, sadly, I was wrong. It doesn't look like Watson won a Heisman. I know he finished, you know, in the top three or the top five or however they do it, but he did not win one. So, but, yeah, I thought that was hilarious because, you know, they're like, well, you know, look at him. He's playing and, you know, they're doing this and that. And it's like, yeah, okay, great. Here we go. It just doesn't matter that Houston is a little better team than the Bears right now. And, you know, maybe eventually Trubisky becomes a good quarterback. I would be interested to say, you know, if he goes out and just stinks, I'll be incredibly interested to see how they handle it, you know, how the fans handle it. You know, I'm sure it'll just be, well, you know, it's just his first game. Yeah, okay, great. Shut up. Just shut up.
Well, it won't be his fault, though. It'll be John Fox's fault.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They'll be pushing the blame off on everybody else. So it's definitely that's the best things Bear fans do. They know how to, you know, they know how to point fingers in the other direction, and then when they want to blame a guy, man, they can blame guys with the best of them because they are just awesome at it. It's almost to the point where it's embarrassing to say that I root for the franchise because these people are just such buffoons, to use a more indignant, you know, or a less indignant word, I should say. Because, yeah, they're just incredibly clueless when it comes to, you know, what is going on here. I understand the excitement that, you know, you have this nice new toy and you think you can play with it, but it's not leading you to the Super Bowl this year. So I don't know why you don't want it to develop and be ready to play when you actually put it in.
Well, you know, I think one of my favorite Facebook comebacks, pretty much, you know, you weren't involved with it, but pretty much to what we've been talking about was, what NFL team do I work for to know that he's not Tom Brady, the rebirth of, you know, a young Tom Brady? To that question, you know, I answered basically with the "Hey, Kool-Aid Man" meme, in Bears colors. But, you know, it's just funny because I get questioned, like, well, what team do you work for? Well, what team do you work for? We both watch the same crap.
Yeah.
You just drink it up. You just drink up what the media tells you. I mean, I watch the same preseason games as everybody else, and I didn't really see anything different. I mean, we talked about the Bears game, the Thursday night game, and, I mean, Glennon had an excellent two-minute offense. You know, if you ran the game like that for an entire game for him, I think it'd be a different game.
Yeah, but that didn't matter because he threw the pick early. So it didn't matter what else he did.
Yeah.
You know, once he threw that pick early in the game, nothing else mattered to Bears fans. He had to be out of the game.
And, you know, the kind of the common denominator with their offensive line is they don't seem to be able to warm up until the second half. So everything that has happened within the first quarter, which oddly they've kicked off almost every game I've seen. So their first possession, their offense isn't ready. And Glennon's been just trounced every time. He's got no time in the pocket, the sacks, the interceptions. So, Mitchell has some work cut out for him.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, again, we live in the area. I want to see the team do well. You know, I really do, but they just, it's not just the fans. I mean, it's the radio hosts that you got to deal with, you know. And you think these guys would be a little brighter because they're around it, you know, so much. But, you know, it's kind of like, he should have been starting from the start. Yeah, okay, whatever. Here you go. You know, just what I want to hear.
But rewind to draft day, and everyone ridiculed the Bears' number one pick, and that they got ripped off.
Yeah.
49ers ripped them all off, and you can go on and on and on. But now this kid's the savior.
Well, to be fair, they did get ripped off. You know, they were completely clueless with that deal. They were, you know, it was the thing, you know, it goes back to when A-Rod signed with the Texas Rangers and he got them to run up their money and it turned out they were bidding against themselves. This was the same situation for the Bears. There was nobody else bidding and the Bears kept upping the ante.
Yeah, but I mean, you get where I'm coming from, though. Like, the same people who are complaining about what they did at the draft have now done a complete 180, and they don't even mention the draft anymore. They just act like this is the number one draft pick, number one draft pick, or first round draft pick to ever be picked. You know, greater than Rex Grossman, so much better than Jim McMahon, you know. Doug Flutie, Tom Beck. Can we go on and on?
Yeah, you know, that's just kind of how, how they do it. It's like, hey, great, here we go. We're going to, you know, run these guys out here and we'll see how, see how it goes. Again, I mean, it would be nice to see him do well. I don't think that he makes that big of a difference. You know, it's like, okay, great. We're going to run him out there to see what he can do. And that's, you know, that's it. Okay. You know, hey, great. Here we go. So, but yeah, you know, like I said, that's what, you know, that's what everybody wanted, right? You know, we got what everybody wanted. So now we'll see how it goes.
And either way, Fox is gone. I mean, they should just, they're going with Trubisky. They should just get rid of Fox now. I mean, why wait? Why, you know, peel the Band-Aid off slowly? Why not just rip it off and put your OC in that spot and, you know, take this team to the Super Bowl?
Yeah, you know, I, You know, I don't know what they're gonna, you know, what they're gonna do or how they're going to do it. It's just gonna be, you know, just gonna be fun, and we'll have to ride it out and see what happens. And you know, that's just.
I mean, and good things or good news or however you want to put it. With 7 days, I mean, he should have more than enough time to be prepared for the team as a whole.
Yeah, you know, you would think. So.
We dragged this one out, and the mothership is actually doing something I can't agree with more. And I think they're going to help stomp out the, I don't know what you call it. I really don't call it a protest. You know, the whole kneeling thing. So they're not going to show the national anthem. I mean, how pleased are you with this? I'm kind of tired of the whole thing to begin with.
Yeah, you know, I think I'm happier with this. I think this is the way to go. You know, it's just becoming, you know, let's say too much of a spectacle. Would be a, you know, a way to do it. And you know, like yesterday, I couldn't figure out, you know, like Marshawn Lynch sat down for the national anthem. And a bunch of guys in Raiders, you know, surrounded him. And I didn't know if they were protecting him or shielding him. And, you know, it was just kind of massively confusing. But, you know, it's to the point where, and I know we've said this before, but what's it accomplishing now? I don't understand. Or what are they trying to accomplish? Do you know?
Social injustice.
Yeah, but, you know, nobody's really speaking out on it. I mean, no, you know, I mean,
no.
You know, like I get Marshall Lynch doesn't say a whole lot as it is, but what happened that made him do it, you know, or any of them?
Well, I think in Marshawn Lynch's situation, he's always sat for it. But, you know, here's the thing. You've got a bunch of millionaires, you know, close to millionaires, but pretty much millionaires kneeling for social injustice, which they're on the higher end of the social economical ladder. So... how does that really work?
And I mean, you know, technically not even so much on the higher end, but on the highest end of that ladder. I'm not quite sure, you know, and I know a lot of them grew up in that type of situation, but do they or are they, I mean, do they go back and help? I mean, have they done anything in their, you know, wherever they were from? You know, maybe they lived in low-income housing or something like that. And I know a lot of guys have. You know, did they set up a Boys and Girls Club or something, or some kind of foundation? You know, I know there are situations and stuff like that where they've put together after-school programs. I don't know the players or the teams involved, but wouldn't that be a better situation than taking a knee for a national anthem?
Well, the only thing you forget, Big Jack, is take the knee, but it's the NFL's responsibility to set up these programs. And that's what was petitioned by a handful of former NFL players. I don't have this article in front of me, but they moved to get, and apparently Goodell is going to start moving out you know, branching out into that, you know, goodwill portion of the NFL. But again, you heard what I said, right? It's the NFL's responsibility to do and set up these programs, just like it's the NFL's responsibility and not our criminal justice system's responsibility to reprimand players and, you know, set up social economical fairness. Not the players' union.
Yeah, not, you know, and I mean
the NFL.
You know, and you know, and I'm sure every one of these players has a charity so they can get the tax deduction for it. You know, I mean, you know, I'm sure they have these wonderful ways to avoid, you know, taxes, just like every millionaire does. I mean, you know, nobody who's made a lot of money actually pays what they should in taxes. It's, you know, the people who don't have the money to have the lawyers to, you know, kind of file your way around that stuff that end up paying the taxes. Why do we drop this on the NFL, Dan? I mean, I know obviously they make a lot of money, but the guys working for the NFL, I don't believe many of them came from these type of areas. So why is it their responsibility? Why can't the player go, hey, I want to do this?
Well, I mean, I truly believe it should be a combination, but I also don't believe it solely lies on the NFL.
Yeah, it's just baffling that, you know, a player can't go, hey, here, I'm going to, you know, this is the so-and-so boys club in association with the NFL. How hard is that to do? You know, or whatever after-school program. You know, I mean, it starts with kids. You know, that's the way we have to kind of work that out. And I know we're hugely disconnected as a society because it's easy for, this is the perfect example. Look at you and I, we're in two different places on the internet talking to each other right now. We don't have to have any face-to-face interaction. It's just you and I. You know, I mean, we know how many people who sit behind their keyboards and complain about everything, but, you know, what do you do about it? Right. You know? So, you know, there's gotta be a starting point. Once some player has to step up and make it the starting point, and I just don't know if there's a guy out there that can do it or would be willing to do it. And, you know, not even to make it racially motivated or anything, but he's going to have to be African-American.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the guy who's going to have to step up and make a difference in an area. And, it, you know, even if it's, you know, somebody who's recently retired, you know, or maybe it's multiple players, I don't know, but, you know, yeah, it's to the point where, you know, like yesterday, I was telling Mr. Fantasy about it. The thing that bothered me was, you know, you mentioned that the Mickey Mouse Network isn't going to show the anthem. What killed me yesterday is I had, I think it was just SportsCenter on. I was flipping around between the morning shows like I do on Sunday to get my news. And they went to a live reporter who was at the game. And the very first question the anchor asked him was, what do the players plan to do during the national anthem? And now I immediately turned it off. I didn't care what his response was because I don't care what these players are doing during the national anthem. I mean, it was, you know, when Kaepernick did it, it was news grabbing and he was working for a cause. There's no longer a cause here, Dan. It's like we're kneeling because we're mad at Donald Trump because somebody sent out those tweets on his account.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, whoever runs the Donald Trump account, I mean, you and I both know it wasn't, you know, it's not Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, you know, it's just like, hey, great. So
Oh,
yeah, you know,
I'll
I
be
just think
glad.
it's time to move on and find a different form of protest.
Well, I mean, I personally like what someone said. If you really want to protest, then maybe you should drop the cleats and the helmet and grab a picket sign and stand out front of the stadium before the game.
Yeah. You know, or, you know, I mean, what might make me a little more interested is if somebody donated some money to a cause. You know, say what you want about Kaepernick, and I was never his biggest fan, but he did give away his money. You know, he donated money to attempt to, you know, correct the situation, or however you want to look at it, assist in the situation. You know, those kind of things. You know, I haven't seen any of these guys step up and say, hey, I'm going to donate this or that to this cause. You know,
yeah,
and I'm not counting,
you know,
disaster relief where it comes to hurricanes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you know, since the NFL preseason, so we're in, you know, week 8 of the NFL preseason, seeing headlines, there's not been one headline that stated such and such player or group of players from such and such team has banded together with local and law enforcement, or, you know, put money towards this, or, you know, set up funds for these kind of people. Not even a $500 scholarship to a kid in need. So, what's your cause?
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't, you know, I mean, that, you know, that could be, you know, an interesting setup, you know, if a NFL player could go out into the community with, with a police officer, and, you know, and I, you know, and I'm not saying police aren't at fault here, because in some points they are, you know, there's no doubt about that, but, you know, we need to bridge that gap to where everybody isn't suspicious of everybody else, you know, and that there's actually a dialogue that can be had. And it, you know, it seems like we just, you know, we no longer know how to talk to each other. And, you know, obviously a lot of that has to do with because you were just so used to being on our phones that, you know, the art of communication is lost between, you know, these type of groups, and they need to be able to, you know, work this out or figure it out. But it's, you know, yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of, you know, at this point I'm lost, and I don't understand the protests anymore. Maybe somebody can help me out. You know, email me sportstimeradio@hotmail.com and, you know, maybe explain your side so I know what the hell's going on.
But, you know, hopefully it doesn't carry over too much into baseball, which starts tomorrow night. I may have mixed up my schedule. I believe the American League starts tomorrow night, and then Wednesday
night
is the National League.
Yeah, it's Yankees at Twins tomorrow, and then Rockies at Diamondbacks on, what would that be, Thursday? Or no, Wednesday.
I thought it was Tuesday,
and then
Wednesday,
Tuesday, Wednesday, and then I believe the American League kicks off on Thursday, and the National League kicks off on Friday. So,
good thing it's not the NBA. Everything would start in 2 weeks.
It's bad enough that, you know, we wait an entire week for, you know, I mean, the any division winner gets the entire week off, which is just got to be ridiculous. There's just such a better way to do this. And, you know, they're so interested in getting those games into prime time that they don't, you know, they don't care about anything else because, you know, it's the money. They need that money. So.
Then I don't think they want to compete with the NFL to open up the series.
Yeah, well, but I mean, you know, there's no reason you couldn't have played both wild card games tomorrow. You know, you start one in the afternoon and then the other one is the evening game. But, they're not gonna do that. I think mostly because the Yankees probably had the afternoon game and they don't want to lose that New York audience. So
no. Well, then don't forget we've got competing networks. TBS
yeah.
One, I believe TBS gets the National League and Fox gets the American League.
Well, actually, the Mickey Mouse Network has the Yankee Twins, and I know the MLB Network gets a game or two. There's games all over the place. You know, it's just a matter of hunting them down, which is always fun. So I don't know if they have it listed yet. Let me see if they bothered to. Get this down here. Yeah, we have the tomorrow I mentioned it's the Mickey Mouse Network. Wednesday it is TBS, so you were right there. Thursday the American League kicks off. Now that is an early game. They're going to kick off about 3 o'clock. It's Boston at Houston. They're on Fox Sports 1. So that's what they have listed so far.
Well, that's how it works. Fox has to get all their networks.
Yeah. Oh, here we go. Okay, here we go. Then we've got Fox Sports has the Astros and the Red Sox are playing two afternoon games to start. They have a 1 o'clock game on Friday. Then the Cubs open at 6:30. And they're on TBS. So, yeah, it looks like it's Fox Sports 1 and TBS to start. I would be interested. I don't see the wild card games listed. Do the wild card winners bounce back and they don't play till Saturday now? Or did they just not list them because they don't know who's going to be who yet?
No, they would have listed them, so they might not start till Saturday. But I have to take a look at the schedule. I'm not in position too, but the one thing that was killing me listening to, I don't know who I was listening to and when, sometime between Friday and today, all I could hear about was the Boston Red Sox secret weapon, Big Jack. You know who that is? Who's their secret weapon? Coming out of the bullpen.
Craig Kimbrel?
No, I mean, obviously, David Price. He's a secret weapon.
Okay, damn.
Oddly, everybody knows about who has had a history of coming out of the bullpen for the playoffs. But he's a secret weapon. Okay. You better watch out, because you never know when he's going to come in. I mean,
we all need to.
Again, you mentioned... Yeah, you mentioned earlier, these guys, this is what they do. They've been around the sport. Because, it's the good old boys club, as they like to say. And, majority of these announcers and broadcasters have been in for at least the last 20 years. And to get yourself in, well, I think you got to knock one of these guys off and do a lot more to be able to take one of their spots, because they're not letting go. Even though, again, they're around the sport their whole life, the last 20 years minimum, and they know so much about the game, but they fail to recognize that he is not a secret weapon.
Yeah.
I don't understand. Like, how does that thought process work? Can you enlighten me a little? Or, are you scared of their secret weapon?
No, and like you said, everybody's going to know. Is there a team out there? I mean, the Red Sox are opening with the Astros. Do the Astros not know David Price is in the bullpen?
Apparently not.
It's
a secret. And you're not allowed, you have one secret where you don't have to announce him on your roster. I mean, that's like saying the Yankees have a secret guy coming out of the bullpen and we don't know anything about him, and his name is Aroldis Chapman. Secret guy.
Yeah. You know, that, I mean, that's what they made it seem like, right? They made it seem like, hey, this is, you know, we're hiding this guy and you can't see him, you know, and it's going to be a big surprise when he comes out of the bullpen. But wait, we know he's there. So
there's going to be a giant silent, you know, silence among the fans when David Price walks out, because nobody's ever heard of him or seen him play.
And they're all going to sing Wild Thing together in unison.
I think it kind of fits, too.
But yeah, you know, I don't know. I guess you got to make it, you know, I guess you're trying to build as much excitement as you can for it. But yeah, just a poorly, poor choice of word there on how to describe that. Cause yeah, there's no secret to that at all.
No, I'm, you know, kind of sticking on that series. You know, it's the playoffs. Anything can happen. It's baseball. Anything can happen. If the Astros don't come out of this, do you think this kind of hurts the mentality and maybe they don't do so well next year?
You know, I think it would depend on how the playoffs go. I mean, if they were to go out and get swept, you know, it could be interesting going in the, yeah, it could be, you know, it could be interesting going in the next year. I mean, obviously they have a, you know, they have a boatload of talent. Now I don't know, you know, who's their free agents and, you know, that kind of stuff that's going to be, you know, those guys. So it always makes it difficult. But, you know, it looks like, you know, they're going to have a quality pitching staff coming back and, you know, all that other fun stuff. But, yeah, you know, I mean, you never know how a situation affects the team. I mean, you know, look at how long it took the Cubs to get going after, you know, winning. So imagine what a team's going to be like if they have to think about losing, you know, especially in the first round.
And I know, you know, the Cubs have announced that they will reveal their starting rotation Wednesday. From what I understand, it's not mandatory until Friday morning, I believe it is. But, you know, have you looked a little bit more into the matchups? Do you kind of have a sense as to who's going to go one and two? Well, even three, because you're going to definitely need those three games for the Red Sox-Astros series. I think this is going to be one of the bigger series.
Yeah, you know, I was waiting to see. I don't think Houston has announced yet. I want to see, you know, obviously it's Chris Sale for Boston in game one. So I'm interested to see if the Astros counter with Dallas Keuchel or Justin Verlander, you know, because Verlander has been fantastic since they picked him up. And but Keuchel obviously is their guy. So I'm interested to see where they go. You know, obviously they're 1-2. I believe that's the only game the Red Sox have an actual advantage in when you go to the mound, because Sale has been, with the exception of Corey Kluber, the best pitcher in the American League all year. So, you know, that'll be interesting to see how the Astros try to counter that. But yeah, I'm kind of waiting for the announcements to see who's pitching for who and, you know, how they kind of shuffle things out. Cause I also want to know how the Red Sox are lining up for game two and game three. You know, is it going to be Porcello, or are they going to Pomerantz, or does Fister fit in? So there's a lot of questions still before I can kind of jump in and go, oh, yeah, okay, we're doing this.
Well, don't forget, with whomever they put in, they've got a secret weapon. Don't tell anybody about it.
No, it's a secret. We can't tell anybody. So, you know, we wouldn't want to – we wouldn't want to let the cat out of the bag. But I did mean to ask you, are you excited that David Ortiz and Keith Hernandez are going to be joining Fox Sports for the playoffs and that Pete Rose is out?
What about A-Rod? Is he out too?
You know, it's Poppy and Hernandez in the headline here. Let me pull up and see if they have pull up the article here and see if they have a list of who else or if anybody else is going to be joining them. So,
Look
anything. Yeah, they don't have anything else announced. You know, they're still killing Rose for that thing that happened in 1975, even though it was just alleged. So it's odd that the article seems to focus on that.
I think it'll be, to be honest, I haven't really seen Big Poppy's analyzation still, but, you know, he's got enough experience in the postseason and obviously enough experience in the game as it is as a whole. So he'll be a great addition. And I mean, it's funny that they bring Keith Hernandez in after kind of the Mets run into the playoffs. The Mets are out.
Keith Hernandez is in. Do you know Keith Hernandez at 63? I didn't know that. Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, this is quite a humorous article because the headline lets you into believes that they're going to talk about Hernandez and Ortiz being in the booth for the, you know, or in the studio for analysis and stuff. And the guy knocks this out. This is William Weinbaum. It should just be William Winey with the way this goes. And he knocks that out right away in the first paragraph. Hernandez and Ortiz get a mention in the second paragraph. Then they get a small mention in the third, and the rest of the article is on Rose. So it has nothing to do with the postseason and the analysts. It's just a way to draw you into the article. So I can't tell you anything else. I don't know who else is going to be in the booth, you know, in the studio with him. I don't know if Frank Thomas will be there. You know, I know he works for Fox during the season. You know, I really like AJ. You know, AJ Pierzynski does a fantastic job, but they don't mention him. You know, this guy's off too much trying to get Rose prosecuted for something that allegedly happened, 37 years ago or 32 years ago? Yeah. Yeah, 42 years ago. So, you know, and obviously if he did it, it's a horrible crime. But again, we're still caught 42 years in the past here persecuting Pete Rose. So, thank you.
Well, they're doing it to Cosby. So.
Yeah, you know, I guess that's just, you know, and I get it. You know, these are horrible crimes if they commit them. But, yeah, this guy, it was a complete bait and switch on the headline for this article. It had nothing to do with announcing and everything to do with how this guy wants Pete Rose arrested. So, thank you for that. That made really made my day. But I did see, interestingly, here, I know we're a little short on time, but the University of Louisville decided to, with Rick Pitino and his big-time contract with the school, he's still owed $44 million if they fire him. So they voted to take what's called a for-cause termination due to this whole scandal with the Adidas shoe company and all that kind of stuff. And this will actually get the university off the hook for the $44 million, the buyout, so to speak, as they call it. So, yeah, they are starting procedures to do that. So it looks like one way or the other, Pitino's out at Louisville, which is really, really the best thing. I also saw a report that said he put his house up for sale in that market. And he's planning on lying low. So there you go. That's probably the best move for him, right?
I know you're going to say lying about it.
Yeah, well, he is lying about that because his lawyer said he had absolutely nothing to do with it when apparently they have proof that he was involved with a scheme to funnel $100,000 to a guy they were trying to recruit. Apparently he made the mistake of leaving a paper trail, is what's alleged. But, you know, when it's your lawyer, he's got to come out and say that you're innocent. No lawyer that you're paying as big a money as Patino's paying is going to come out and say, oh yeah, he did it, he's guilty. So.
Yeah, he's probably regretting that he downloaded that, funneling money app, huh?
Yeah, you know, definitely how to, the Idiot's Guide to Funneling Money is coming back to bite him now. So, you got to be careful with that kind of stuff. But yeah, it's just, the second scandal Louisville has had under this guy after the exotic dancer thing, which oddly he got out of unscathed. It was the assistant coach who took all the heat for that. This one, he's not going to be so lucky. It definitely looks like he is out of a job. And, I really think, in a situation like this, should they allow him to coach again, Dan, do you think?
I mean, was he a good coach?
Oh yeah, he's been a great coach. He's won national championships and, he has a winning record throughout college, but now don't you have to question all that? Because obviously he needed great players to do it. Don't you have to look back now and start to wonder on how he got all these guys?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Depending on a court ordered an injunction, I don't see why he can't coach again. You're asking me about the NCAA putting something down, which, is a corrupt organization to begin with. So you're bad because you got caught. We're not bad because we haven't been caught yet. So it's one of those things where you've got to imagine he'll be coaching high school or community basketball maybe, or, like you said, just lying low.
Yeah, well, you got to wonder if you're a university, could you sell that to your presidency and stuff, the guys like that who have to reign over this? Bring a guy like Ben? Hey, he cleaned up his act. Okay, well, how do we know? He's been out of the game for so long.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the thing. You'd have to figure out a way to make steps to untarnish his reputation. Which,
yeah.
In a situation like that, I don't know how you do that.
Well, I think you said it. He's got to go back to coaching high school ball or, put the time in. And that's if he wants to do it at his age. So, all right, well, the good thing is that Dan and I are going to take off. But, hey, we're going to come back tomorrow at 5:30. Of course, we'll be talking about the AL wildcard game for sure. So meet us here for that. But you know what to do while we're gone. SportsTimeRadio.com. Check out what's going on over there. Of course, follow the link over to the Facebook page. Give that a like, please. Now, don't forget the Twitter feed, which is at SportsTimeRadio. You can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. Now, don't forget, though, as cool as it is for you to come on here and listen to us live, you can find the podcast anytime you want at TuneIn.com.